The Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Gracious God, continue to open the eyes of our heart that we might continue to perceive your presence in our lives and be given the grace to follow your light that comes to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Morning.
Morning.
One of my favorite columnists growing up was a lady by the name of Irma Bombeck. Because Irma had more life lessons in her humorous columns than just about anybody I've ever read. And I remember one particular story she told in one of her columns was that she had her favorite dog, and she had heard from a veterinarian that if the dog ate cod liver oil, it would live a longer, happier, and healthier life. So she tells in the column how she took that cod liver oil and decided that she would go and chase the dog around the house and try to pour it down the dog's throat with a spoon. And she chased that dog for a whole week and couldn't catch up with it. Finally, on the last day of the week, she's chasing the dog, and she says she slipped on the floor, landed on her rump, the cod liver oil went up in the air, the bottle came down, crashed and broke on the floor, and the cod liver oil was all over the kitchen floor. After she's able to lift herself up, she turns around, and what does she see? The dog is there on the floor, licking up the cod liver oil. She uses that story to tell the life lesson about it's all in the matter in the way that we present the offer that makes all the difference. Is it attractive? Is it pleasant? And the first thing I think we have to take from this gospel reading today is that the call of Jesus has to be a pleasant thing. It has to be that which gives us that joy down deep in our heart that our children just sang about. It's about one love. It's about all of those things. And if we are finding ourselves in our lives that we are depressed, that we are unhappy, Perhaps it means it's time for us to look at the vocation we have chosen, the ministry that we are in, and perhaps God is calling us to move forward to something else. Think of the understatement in this gospel today. Jesus goes along the Sea of Galilee. He sees two brothers and says, "Follow me." They drop their nets. They give up their very lives, their very occupations, everything, their families that they have known all their lives to follow him. They would not do that unless there was an incredible attractiveness, a very pleasantness in the way Jesus gave them hope for what he had in store for them. Now we can move ahead. Besides the pleasantness that's involved, there is a proper timing that is involved as well. And God's timing is always proper. It might not be at the time that we would like it to be, but it is always God's proper timing. You know, in this gospel that we hear today, here we have Jesus. And what does it say? John the Baptist had been arrested. And with that, Jesus withdraws to Galilee. Now, we could look at that and say, oh, John got arrested, Jesus got scared, so he retreated to Galilee. It's just the opposite. Because what Matthew is doing is showing us that the prophecies have been fulfilled. The other readings that were assigned today had to do with Isaiah, and it talks about the Messiah will go to Zebulun and Naphtali, the area of Galilee. Jesus is not retreating. Jesus is beginning his ministry. Now think of that. We talked about John the Baptist the last couple of weeks and the relationship that he had with Jesus. They were best buddies. They grew up together. They were cousins. John baptized Jesus in the Jordan. They shared as they were growing up, I am sure, what they felt God's call was for them in their lives. And what happens? John follows his call and gets arrested. Jesus doesn't run away as a result of that. He actually begins to be active in his ministry. God's timing is always proper. How many times in our lives does God choose to use the events that have happened unto us or to others and use that as an opportunity to call us and say, "Follow me"? Think of your own life. Think of the different milestones, good and bad, that you have had. And I will bet along the way, God as well has given you an opportunity to respond to his call at that time. It might be through sickness. It might be the loss of a relationship or a loved one who dies. It might be the loss of a job. It might be the getting of a new job, as it was with Jesus, with the loss of his friend John. God's timing is always proper. God doesn't cause the bad things that happen in our lives, but God certainly wants to use those things that we might be able to respond to his call. I tell the story often about my own experience of having different milestones, good and bad, in my life. And especially one while I was in my corporate life and was in a position where some people were being mistreated. And we were told that even though they were the scapegoats, we were to say nothing if we wanted to keep our jobs. That was a difficult time for me because I did not speak up. And it began for me a journey that ended with my active return to ministry. Because God used that, what I saw as a failure point in my life, to start me to think about what really matters in life. Whenever things happen, milestone-wise in our lives, it's time for us to listen. Because in some way, I bet that God wants to say through that, "Follow me." So it's about the pleasantness of the call. It's about the proper timing of the call. It is also about our preparedness for the call. I'm the first one to say we need to do a lot of strategic planning in our lives and in our parish, just as you do in the business world. But I think we need to emphasize more our preparedness for the call. You know that bumper sticker? You want to make God laugh? Tell God what your plans are. God has plans for our lives. And it becomes for us to be prepared. There's no way we could plan it. You think about these men that he called today. Do you think they had any earthly or heavenly idea where it was going to lead them? They would have had no earthly or heavenly idea that 2,000 years later, following this young itinerant preacher, was going to lead to people across the world worshiping him as the Messiah and living their lives following him. 51 years ago, when this plot of ground was given by somebody who wasn't even an Episcopalian so that this church and this parish could be built, do you think that person had any idea what life would come to be 51 years later? But they heard the call of God and they were prepared to respond in the limited way that they could. It's that way throughout the scriptures. Look at the call of Abraham. Abraham couldn't go to AAA and get a triptych and know exactly where God was going to send him. But he had to be prepared and ready. He had to pack his bags. He had to get his family ready and be ready to answer and prepared. When the people were called in Exodus, do you think they really understood what this all meant? But they were prepared. God told them, sprinkle the blood on the door, you'll be protected from the angel of death, and you will be led into freedom. I'm sure they had no earthly or heavenly idea what it all meant. When they were going into the promised land in Canaan, God told them, sanctify yourselves the night before. Do you think they had any idea what it really meant the next morning? Even in Jesus' time, what was John the Baptist's main message? Prepare the way of the Lord. Not plan the way of the Lord. Prepare. Because to make ourselves ready so that when God speaks, we will be able to hear and to respond. So too for Jesus with his disciples. What's going to happen after he dies? He rises and he tells them, go to the upper room and wait. And there they are gathered together, prepared. And then Jesus comes and the Holy Spirit descends upon them. We are called to be prepared. Today we celebrate not only a baptism, not only an adoption ceremony, but we remember all those families who have had their children baptized here in the past year. We need to remember, as we do every year now on this Sunday, what that baptism is all about. And in light of this gospel, it's to help us to be prepared, to be ready in our lives so that when God calls, we will be attuned enough to his voice to hear it and have the strength to respond. We pour water. Water as that symbol of life, as that symbol of power. God gave us about 5 years ago an incredible symbol of that power. Those of you who are new to St. Joseph's, perhaps this is the first time you will hear the story. But the vestry deliberated a long time about the leaks that were in this church that went back almost 25 years. And the vestry finally bit the bullet and said, we need to replace the roof. And so, as the roof, the former tiles were being taken off, the roofers discovered that because of that leaking water for 25 years, it was rotting the supporting wood that was underneath. Some of that wood looked like this. This is the beam that was right up there. Don't worry, guys, it's fixed. Some of that wood had deteriorated more, and it was as brittle as this. Some of it had 5-foot sections that didn't even exist anymore. The only thing that was holding up that roof was the collective pressure of those tiles being cemented together. We had been sitting on a time bomb and God delivered us. But in doing so, we learned a valuable lesson of the power of that water. And the whole idea in our church of baptizing people when they are infants is because we want that family, that individual, to continue to have the tools that they will need to be prepared to hear God's voice, to be attuned to it, and to be able to respond. We have no earthly or heavenly idea the wonderful things that these 31 families' children are going to do for God's church as they grow into maturity. Or Luke, what he's going to do as he's adopted into the Stivers family. Or the Murray's baby as he grows into adulthood. But we can be prepared. Remember that image of the flashlight we had a couple weeks ago, where that woman was at a safari camp and she took that flashlight and she complained. She said, because I can't see very far in front of me. And the guard wisely replied, well, it lets me see as far as I can step. And when I step that far, the light will go that much further ahead so that I can make the next few steps ahead. Jesus is our light. We do not know completely what that road is, but we know it is pleasant. We know it is attractive. And we know that God's timing is always right and proper, and we can be prepared. In my own journey of faith, I came across a prayer one time from Thomas Merton, and it has stayed in the wallet that I carry with me since my college days. And whenever I hit one of those milestones, that prayer comes out of my wallet. Because to me, it symbolizes what this is all about, us being prepared. Thomas Merton, who struggled in his own life with God's call to solitude for himself as a monk, at the same time he felt called to be with people, he penned these words. My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I'm actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope that I have that desire in all that I am doing. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, will I trust you always. Though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are ever with me. And you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Amen.